Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
This is writer Kelly Thompson, and you've jumped inside the pull bag, only on GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to The Pull Bag. This is episode 514. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. And joining me this time around is Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
This time around. I join you like half the time, I think.
That's true-ish, sort of. Pretty much. Kind of, maybe. I don't know. Ryan is here. And folks, if you go back a decade or so, since this podcast is 10 years old now, you'll hear episode 19 where Ryan and I did his comic reading origins. Now, since episode 19 of the podcast, back in 2019, right before or right as the pandemic was starting, I revamped the questions and we've added questions and we've done things and whatever else, and I've started a whole new set, even though it's still the same, pretty much it's still the same stuff, but I've added a few things here and there. And even since then, Ryan is actually the guinea pig for this, because I've added five more questions. So originally,
the pull bag, if you were a tree comic, which tree comic would you be? Oh,
yes, one that doesn't get cut down.
One that doesn't get canceled after 5 months and doesn't get an ending.
Yeah, we're all jaded about that, folks. So originally the pull bag was always 25 questions about reading comics. Well, when I expanded this to cartoons and podcasting, those are 30 questions. And the toy collecting one, as you well know, since you've been through that one already, that one is 42 questions. So I'm like, okay, this is 2023. This is the – oops, I don't know why I did that. Ignore that. This is the 10-year anniversary of the pull bag. Why not get the pull bag origins to 30 questions? So I have added a few questions in here that nobody else has answered before. And if anyone has listened to Tooncast Origins with our – fictional fantasy funland, it's basically those, but it's applied to comics. So that's why we're kind of, and a lot has happened in the last decade, and I'm not going to redo everybody's origins. I think the only people that have gotten redone origins is me, Steve, and you. That's it. Because when we relaunched. yes, you are. In more ways than one. Anyway, when we relaunched the thing, Steve and I were like, hey, let's just answer these again. And yeah, so, but we've been getting all kinds of guests. We've got a guest coming up, third person from the Dark Knight News podcast that will be on the show. Brad Felicki is coming up next week. I've also had Kendra and Edward Hale on and Steve J. Ray. So kind of like round out the crew from that, or maybe add to it or something. Anyway, comic books. Did you grow up reading comics, and at what age do you first remember reading or noticing comics?
Yeah, this hasn't changed, obviously.
I mean, obviously. Some of these won't change, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Marvel Transformers stuff, seeing my brother reading X-Men, Punisher, stuff like that in the 90s. But really, I mean, the Transformers stuff, probably some of the first stuff I remember, Marvel. That's the, of course, yeah, the Marvel U.S. Transformers.
Yeah. As a kid, was there a parent, a friend, or anybody in your life that said, here, kid, read this comic, go away, you bother me?
not in those terms.
Well, yeah, but it's meant to be funny. My parents
definitely, yeah, we used to get them in the newsstand and stuff like that, you know. Or, yep. Well, when I say newsstand, you know, at the grocery store.
Yep.
And obviously, I mean, I read through some of my brother's stuff on occasion.
Cool, cool. When you were a kid, which characters were your favorites?
I mean, that hasn't changed much either, obviously. I mean, still use Nightbeat as a handle and everything from, like, Marvel Snap to whatever. Anyway,
Mastodon.
So that's an obvious one. I wasn't a huge... I mean, for X-Men, I was probably a bigger fan of... Marvel overall. Probably a bigger fan of, like, Wolverine and stuff back then.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really be until much later that I became, you know, a fan of the Punisher and a lot of the other characters. I mean, the main one, though, were Transformers. And obviously, you know, everybody's favorite Transformers and stuff, too, were ones I liked. All of us at that age pretty much, you know, loved Optimus Prime.
Yep.
Unless you were a Megatron sympathizer, but we talked about that before the show, so that's completely different. Anyway.
I think that'll work these
There weren't too many, yeah.
No.
And we didn't discover that until the internet, and that was much later, so.
Yeah, much later.
Good old alt.toys.transformers.
Yep. Much later, when he was about to get all the character development in the world and become Megatron, the Autobot.
Oh, no, I meant before that, whatever. Before
you meant... All right, well, question. DC or Marvel?
Was this on the original, too?
Yep.
All right, yeah, I did thought so.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, you know what? It fluctuated, and I hope I mentioned this on the original now, too, but, God, I wish I could listen to my voice, or else I would have just re-listened to that one. But I started out with DC pretty heavily. I mean, one of the guys that got me back into comics when I was working at Chapters way back when in 2001 or so, 2000, somewhere around that time. Anywho, was big into DC. And so that was kind of my gateway. And then I slowly inched into Marvel. And I've fluctuated, but honestly, ever since New 52, which kind of rubbed me the wrong way, it's been pretty heavily in the Marvel direction.
Yeah.
It's not that I hate it, by the way. Just, I don't know. It undid a lot of... There were a lot of changes going on. This is something you and I should talk about someday, too. But and I know we have discussed this a couple times, but I liked Dick Grayson...
Oh, absolutely.
As Batman, I liked like some of the stuff that ended up getting undone in one of their many. I know that wasn't that particular one wasn't necessarily the New 52 reboot. It's just some of the reboots where the characters were finally aging and doing something different with DC just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I get annoyed. Like, they finally let Dick Grayson kind of step out of Bruce Wayne's shadow. But only for a little bit, and then they completely sort of undid it, and immediately the first thing they do was jam him back into the Nightwing costume, which there's nothing wrong with Nightwing, don't get me wrong. My issue is just that it was interesting to see him grow, and then they pretty much immediately shove him to the side. The same sort of stuff happened with, you know, Geoff Johns and a lot of the stuff he did, which was... There's all these new characters, and a lot of them are the new characters you and I would have grown up with. People like Wally West as the Flash.
Yeah.
People like
John Stewart and Kyle Rayner.
Oh my God, I couldn't remember. For some reason, I was drawing a blank on John Stewart. All I could think of is Phil LaMarr. Anyway,
that's right.
You're 100% right. John Stewart is the first one that came up after Wally West. Yep. And anyway, yeah, they just get completely shoved to the side because Geoff Johns goes like, well, I grew up with Barry Allen. So goodbye, Wally West. You're, you know, relegated to the F team. And, you know, goodbye, John Stewart. You get to go out into space and show up once every 6 years. Yippee.
Yeah.
Great way to entice.
Yeah, because I have a...
Yep.
Yes, because I'm Jeff Johns, and I have a Jesus complex with Hal Jordan.
Yeah, like I didn't get it. I didn't understand that. I would go back, and I've read, you know, some of this stuff with Hal, and it's enjoyable and that kind of thing.
The but only time I have ever... Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, I just, it rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, John Stewart was the one I knew better, A.
Yep.
B, I'm just going to be blunt here. John Stewart's the more interesting character.
Absolutely.
He has a lot more stuff going on. And Kyle as well, too, I think.
Yeah, Kyle's awesome.
Then for the Flash, I mean, Barry Allen had been dead forever. Everybody knew Wally better at this point.
Yep. Yep. For me, the only time I have actually enjoyed Hal Jordan is when Josh Keaton voiced him in the Green Lantern, the animated series cartoon.
Yeah.
I have never cared about Hal ever since Super Friends. Never cared about him. I was always John Stewart, Kyle Rayner. Those are my Lanterns. And then, obviously.
And let's be honest, Justice League, John Stewart. And not to mention Justice League, Wally West, by the way. Pretty tough acts to follow for the comic book characters, even.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you know, you get Lex Luthor and Static Shock to voice Justice League characters. I mean, that's amazing.
I mean, I don't know anybody who has seen the scene with Michael Rosenbaum, of course, voicing Wally. But it's Lex Luthor in his body pulling the mask off. I have no idea who this is.
No idea who this is. Yeah. Yep. Oh, Clancy Brown, you magnificent bastard. Mm. So what other publishers do you enjoy reading?
Image. I mean, from time to time. Boom Studios, IDW. You know, obviously the IDW, the licensed stuff. You know, Transformers, we've been over 100 times. I think we both loved it. Yeah. You and I don't talk about it often, but TMNT from IDW, we always talk about it off air, off recording. But, I mean, it's fantastic. If you love the Ninja Turtles or you grew up with them or you have any interest in it, I mean, those are just great comics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it reminds me so much of the Transformers run. Like, it's just really good whether you're into those characters or not. Like, if you just want a good story with good characters, read it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where it's just so damn good. And it's funny that you mentioned that we don't really talk about it because my buddy Joe Reed.
Yeah, you guys always review.
Well, it was because he ended up answering the call for, I'm like, I need a turtle guy. And Joe was like, ooh, me. Ooh. I'm like, okay, sure. All right, Joe, you got it.
I think it took me a while. I think it was around issue 50 or so that I kind of jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't at the start. I think because I thought, you know, I thought, like, IDW, they're just getting into all the licensed stuff, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was all a nostalgia fest, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, I dismissed it without reading it, which is dumb.
It's so good.
I was much younger back then. I mean, that started a long time ago. That's my defense.
Started in 2011. You weren't that younger. It wasn't that much.
That's still a while ago.
Yeah, well. And it's funny because, and I think I've told you about this, and I know Steve Megatron knows, and I know Joe knows. I don't remember if I've told you or not, but IDW pays attention to stuff, folks. Issue 55, we got quoted.
Yeah.
Words I said are on a comic book. If you have ever been a TMNT fan, you need to check this out, Geekcast Radio.
I'm pretty sure I have that issue because of that. Actually, not pretty sure. I know I do.
Yeah, it's the one with...
No, I went and found it.
Alopex and Kitsune with Casey and April in the background. Yeah.
Yeah, and same sort of feeling with Boom as well, that they primarily deal with the licensed stuff. But every once in a while, they just sort of knock it out of the park completely.
Yeah.
And then you look at some of the other publisher lists. I have not really liked the Alien series from Marvel. It hasn't been great so far. So, yeah, it's just because you're a smaller publisher definitely doesn't mean you can or can't handle something better than the big boys.
Yeah. You mentioned Image. Have you checked out Radiant Black or any of that stuff that they're doing with the mass? Oh, you gotta check it. It's so good.
You know, one we should talk. All right. Anyway, no, that's an off-air thing.
Okay.
I was like, oh man. You know what? It just as a teaser. Geez, why didn't this ever come up? Do a power bomb. That is a series we should review.
Okay.
I'll look into it. Fantastic.
Awesome. I will look into that one.
Print. It's not what you expect, despite that name.
Yes. I mean, you know, what I expect is a bunch of Vegas bombs, but that's not what's in there, I bet. Print or digital? Which one, both, either or, and why or why not?
Man, this has changed.
No, it hasn't.
My answer really wouldn't have changed much. If you had asked me about 4 years or so ago, it would have been a lot closer, at least. Yeah. Now I'm pretty much just print. Back to, yeah, it's pretty much just all in print now. Digital, I don't even want to get into the Amazon stuff. Like
they really
torched Comixology. We've been over this 100 times.
I repeat myself, folks, we're not trying to repeat this old ass conversation about Comixology and the way Amazon has screwed them. Currently, Comixology on phones or tablets, I believe, is still available because I still have it. But I've heard rumors that by October of this year, it will be completely gone. And I am ready.
They do or don't. They really did a number on.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
On it, regardless, and that was one of my primary ways. Now, having said that, like I don't have a subscription to Marvel Unlimited or DC. Part of that is because by the time stuff arrives on it, I've already got print copies or could have already got print copies. So, it's just no. I'd rather just get the. Rather just get the print stuff. Not have to worry about it. And I do like the Marvel stuff, and I do or Marvel stuff, Marvel Unlimited, and everything. It just
right. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just not really for me. I have most of the stuff now.
Yeah, like, and all is, like, Amazon did not, and I, again, I'm sorry, folks, I know. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to ask the next question. Amazon did not have to torch it. They didn't have to do anything to it. The only thing they had to do was do comixology.amazon.com, or if you want to have your name first, amazon.comixology.com. Have the same friggin' website, have the same friggin' everything, just put Amazon, you know, logos all over it everywhere, and that would have been fine. That website, there was nothing wrong with the comixology.com website at the time.
It wasn't perfect. I mean, there's definitely improvements that could have been made, but scrapping it and just making it the stupid Amazon site was busted, because it's frequently so difficult to actually find what you're looking for.
Well, that, and it's like pinch and zoom to do guided view. That's just dumb. Like, that guided view technology that Comixology has and had was, like, it wasn't always perfect, but 99.975% of my time using guided view, it worked damn well for me as a legally blind person who needs to read things in somewhat large print on a small-ass screen. And obviously, my screen for the computer, I didn't really need to read it in large print, but, like, if it's not on the computer anymore, then how the hell am I supposed to read it? And Kindle sucks. I will never, never, ever, 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 ever have a Kindle. Never, ever, ever. Okay. Who are some of your favorite comics writers and why?
I think that's changed a lot either. I think there's the obvious stuff. You know, I love James Roberts' run in More Than Meets the Eye. That's nothing new, I think. Garth Ennis's Punisher Max, Jason Aaron's Punisher, Greg Rucka's everything from Punisher, Lazarus, Queen and Country. Other stuff I'm sure I'm forgetting. Jason Aaron with Thor as well, which I liked a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone new on the list. Tom King, I like an awful lot. We were talking about him a little bit beforehand, but I mean, if you haven't read Tom King's Vision, it is amazing, for example. Brian K. Vaughan, anything he writes. Supergirls, Saga, Pride of Baghdad.
I couldn't get into Saga, but I've wanted to check out Paper Girls for the longest time.
It's good. It's dense.
Yeah. He's a dense writer, so I mean, you know, so. What defines a good story to you?
Ability to use the characters well and use the character. Oh, wait, hang on. Hang on here just a second. Somebody to add to the favorite writers, Jonathan Hickman.
Yep.
Jeez, can't believe I left that one out. From everything from East of West to his Avengers run to, of course, the X-Men.
Yep.
That we talk about a lot. There we go. Anyway, for what makes a good comic, it's mostly just the characters and the writing. And in terms of the writing, I like the stories where the progression is generally pretty logical. Obviously, art is a big thing too, but art is subjective, and I can get away with... Basically, if I read a story and the art is kind of meh, I can live with it if the story's good. Right. If the story's bad, good art generally doesn't save it.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, you know, for the most part, I mean, there's some amazing artists out there too, but
yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't help if your character's doing the Larry Moen street. Mm. Anywho.
Yeah. So you go into the comic shop. What is the story? You know, you pick up a new number one or whatever. What does the story have to draw you in and keep coming back for more?
Hook has to leave me wanting more. Mm. Leave me wondering sort of what's going to happen next, or at least some level of interest in the characters.
Yeah.
I think sort of defining a character from the start and setting up that world can be some of the most fun. Like, we've read a lot of books, we've even reviewed shows and stuff like that, where they set up the characters really well, and then it kind of comes off the tracks sometimes.
Yeah, it very much derails sometimes.
Did we ever do or discuss stuff like Heroes, for example?
The TV show or the
A comic. Obviously not a comic book, but very related to comics. To me, it's a great example of a number one that set things up really well and then just completely went off the rails.
Yeah. I had never been interested in that show when it was airing. I don't know what it was about that. I was expecting... I was at that time when I think... Remembering correctly, it was somewhere around 2004, 2005 when that debuted, I think. I don't remember.
It
feels like it was longer than that, but I remember like, Heroes. I would rather watch more of Mutant X, which Mutant X didn't last all that long. So 2006 to 2010. So I was close. We've never talked about Heroes.
Anyway, other stuff, though, that we have talked about, early things. A great example is the Star Wars Dr. Aphra.
Yep.
I was not super sold on going through that, but you wanted to do the Star Wars stuff. So I sat down and read it, and it was very good.
Yeah.
They did a good job of making her interesting, making her her own character, despite being in a universe with a ridiculous amount of characters that we all know and generally love.
Yep.
Yeah, it's yeah stuff like that stands out.
Very cool, very cool. Who are some of your favorite comics artists?
Marco Cicchetto. I hope that that's one that I always had on. Best known for his work on Punisher with Greg Rucka, yeah. But most people know him right now. He's been on Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil for almost 5 years now. Nice. And his stuff is fantastic. He's one of my all-time favorites. Goran Parlov, always liked him. He's a Punisher artist. Leonardo Fernandez, another one. For older stuff, I mean, I've always had a thing for the Jim Lee art.
Mm-hmm.
As well as John Romita, Senior and Junior. I like both of them a lot. I know some people will complain that, like, ugh, the art's not all that different, but they're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not always like father, like son, so. Do you have a favorite non-superhero title?
Does the Punisher count? No, I mean, the main one is probably More Than Meets the Eye.
Yeah.
And now, if we're talking about stuff that's running now, mm-hmm. Oh, geez. Uh-oh. Do Powerbombs good? Love Everlasting is interesting to me so far, but they're both very early on.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, I'll stick with More Than Meets the Eye until I can think of Lazarus has been running for a while. That's a Greg Rucka book. I like it a lot.
Cool, cool.
Monstrous as well.
What is your favorite run or story arc of a series? So, just for example, New 52 Nightwing has 5 volumes and it has 5 different story settings. So, or, you know, you take pre-New 52 Batman from, what was it, 1940 to 2011 or whatever that, like, you know, in a specific series, what is your favorite run of that series?
I'm thinking. I have stuff that's tempting. Slaver's arc in Ennis's Punisher.
But,
the first run of More Than Meets the Eye. I'm just going to include that first 5, the full, like, trade set.
Yeah.
All of them, really. I mean, it was near perfect. We've talked about, I love season 2. But honestly, Under the Cold Blue Stars was one of, first of all, it was the comic that got me back into the IDW Transformers, but I think in a lot of ways got me back into comics heavily too. So yeah, I mean, I can't not mention how much I love James Roberts' Transformers work, and in particular, that first series of More Than Meets the Eye is just fantastic.
Yeah, he did a lot of good stuff with that book.
It's one of those that anybody can read it. And I remember getting Andrew to read it, and he goes, this is ridiculously good.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing people who don't care about Transformers, don't like Transformers, know nothing about Transformers, put it in their top graphic novels of all time list.
Yeah. And I've told this story before. It was Ender. It was my buddy Ender. He said, you start at the Death of Optimus Prime one shot, and you can go one of two roads. You can either go More Than Meets the Eye, or you can go Robots in Disguise. I'm like, okay. I obviously went down both roads, but
they're both very good, by the way. I never want to make it seem I'm dunking on anything with RID and Optimus Prime, but. Right. Yeah,
you just enjoyed the James Roberts stuff more. Like, you didn't, you know, I'm sure there's plenty. Go back and listen to all those episodes we did.
No, we had plenty of good things to say about, Robots in Disguise.
Yeah, absolutely.
It always just slightly got edged out by...
Yeah.
I almost feel bad. James for Barber on that. That man, like, if he wasn't running it at the exact same time, we'd probably have all been lauding how great his stuff was. But
yeah, absolutely.
Same with Last Stand of the Wreckers, by the way. I mean, that's for one Transformer book. That one's a tough one to beat, and obviously that's sort of co-written by Roberts, but I mean the main impetus behind that was
Nick Roche.
Who is usually known for his artwork, but man, his writing's great.
I will say this now, and everybody listening to the sound of my voice as I'm saying this, I know they're going to just drop their hot coffee or cold ass water or whatever. They're going to have their mouths drop open when I say this. The first time in nearly 40 years that I've ever liked the character of Springer is when Nick Roche was writing him in Last Stand of the Wreckers. I like Springer generally, but I always call him a butthole bag because he essentially is trying to move in on RC under Rodham.
That's why you don't like him, huh?
Yeah, exactly. He's a home wrecker.
Well, he's more of a himbo, I think, kind of. I feel like himbo is a good thing for him.
That's funny. That is so, so funny. All right. Let's see. What is one comic you can read over and over again, single issue or trade?
Any of those. Let's go with... I'm trying to think of some of my most worn through ones.
You have a lot of those, you know.
I know. I think I got a problem here.
Not a problem.
Oh, God. The Transformer stuff. This question sucks. No, I'm trying to think of stuff I go back to a lot. There's that stuff. There's some of the Batman stuff. I mean, it's too much. Too many comics. Most of the books I have, I read and reread. Having said that, for stuff I've reread probably the most often, all right, there is brain freeze, can't remember. Rucka Punisher is one that I enjoy reading and rereading. Last Stand of the Wreckers, definitely up there. The Daredevil era of, there we go, finally came back into my brain. The Ed Brubaker Daredevil.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite stuff. Although I do greatly enjoy Wade and Bendis, who were in that same, they were the bookends to that, essentially, for the most part. Man, there's too many books I like reading. There's a lot of great comics out there. Like, I don't... First of all, I think we got into this last time. We're getting into it again now. But for the people who say, oh, comics sucks now, first of all, no, they don't. There's a lot of fantastic comics being published right now. There is no way you have read all of these series and deemed them all unreadable or poor. If you were saying that, you were just lying.
Yeah.
And second of all, even if that were true for just a second, who would care? You know, there is decade upon decade of amazing books to read, and there's no way you can have read them all. I am still consistently discovering stuff that, for whatever reason, I skipped over, or was too young, or just didn't know about it, or have just never read it.
Right.
And stuff that, like, is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you
can never run out of it. It's the same. The problem is we have almost too much choice now, and so sometimes you feel just completely immobilized by it. Like when you turn on the TV or the streaming service or whatever, and there's 8,000 things, and you go like, oh, I'll just watch an episode of The Simpsons I've seen 46 times.
Right.
Just because you're like, you're just daunted at the amount of things you could get into, but...
And I think the thing with me, like, specifically to that point is most of, like, the TV, like, comics is where I'm like, okay, like, you mentioned House and Powers of X. Yeah. I didn't not like the X-Men. I didn't not like X-Men comics. I just have never read a lot of them.
Well, so where do you jump in?
Well, like, exactly.
It's one of the great questions and problems with all the superhero books is where do you jump on? There's so much.
Yeah. And this is why I liked first of all, I like this because I follow the writer. So I follow Kyle Higgins. I have followed him since I was introduced to him in Nightwing New 52. He's done a few creator-owned series. He's done Cowl. Currently he's doing Radiant Black. He's doing Ordinary Gods. He's doing a bunch of other things. He did the first 30 issues of the Boom Studios Power Rangers run. So I follow him because I like his writing. Like, when I think of characters that he's writing, I hear, like, the whole time I'm reading New 52 Nightwing, I hear Lauren Lester in my head as I'm reading the book. So, you know, but with media, with watching stuff, it's like I'd rather just put something on the back. Like, I watch stuff to do podcasts on the stuff, but I don't watch shows or movies like I used to. I just and honestly, half the time I'm just, you know, putting something on the background so I can go to sleep. And usually that ends up being true crime, but that's just how I roll, folks. All right. Are there any comics you avoid altogether?
No. I mean, it's mostly just stuff based on the creator.
Okay.
Just to flat out say it, there's, in the last, honestly, 5-6 years, probably longer, there's been the revelation that there's been a lot of problematic creators, and I just don't touch their stuff anymore.
Right, yeah. I
have no particular interest in it, and for the most part, it's not a big loss.
Yeah.
There's a couple that were really good, or that I had, like, gigantic collections of.
Right.
And I just move on from it. If you can separate the art from the artist, that's fine.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't care enough to really examine that, because like I said before, there's still a bajillion different other things for me to read, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. So, are there any comics in the past or currently that you wish you had not read them?
No, not really.
Okay.
There's nothing I truly regret. I mean, there's stuff like, if I say the words We3, do you know what that is?
No, you'll have to explain. Right. Okay.
Grant Morrison, Morrison I'm frequently on the fence about, but the more I examine his stuff, too, the more I find, like, I like most of it. So, Morrison, I shouldn't call him either. Shit.
Uh-oh.
Anyway. Okay. Most of what Morrison's work, though, I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so they did We3 Forever Ago, which was a one-off. We3 is the story of three animals who are being tested on, and their sort of friendship in escaping, and it will make you weep openly. It is the comic equivalent of Jurassic Bark, the Futurama episode with Fry's dog Seymour.
Okay.
It is the comic equivalent of that. If you are not, like, weeping by the end. So that's the only one that's close. And that's because it's really good and it does its job. But, oh, man. It's sad.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely.
I haven't read a lot of stuff that I really regret. There's some, but I'm not even going to bring it up because it doesn't deserve to get listed by anybody ever.
Okay. How large or small is your physical comic book collection? I have no answer to this one, folks.
Yeah. So somebody asked me, it's funny that this is one of the questions. I was in the comic book shop earlier this week, and I was talking to a guy I hadn't seen in a while. We're talking about, you know, physical collection, and I'm telling him that, like, that, yeah, I've tried to pare down a lot of stuff, especially figures and some of the extra things, and I've done a good job. I've got gotten rid of just a ton of stuff, selling on eBay, selling locally, everything else. Trades, not so much.
Yeah.
Despite what I said before about, like, getting rid of problematic creators and stuff like that, which did clear out a fair amount of room.
Right.
In a couple cases. I still have so many. I still have more trades than the comic book shop does. And they have hundreds and hundreds. So, yeah, it's not great. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
7,000, folks.
No, I don't have that many. Yeah, we're up to 8 bookshelves of them, though.
Wow.
Between Sarah and I. That's awesome. Just counting the stuff that's in bookshelves. We've got some stored in other places and stuff, but yeah.
That is cool. That is awesome.
And I generally reread them. There's some stuff that's tougher. Like, I don't decide to sit down and reread Wii 3 unless I'm like, oh, gee, I think I'll make myself feel miserable. You know, you don't usually sit down and go like, I think I'll read Mouse Volume 2.
Yeah.
Really in the mood for some Holocaust comics. I think I'll just sit down and read it. Like, no, but...
No, yeah.
But for the most part, it's all stuff I read and reread and stuff like that. It's because I appreciate it enough, and maybe I'm not going to sit down and read it often, but I still do once in a while.
Yeah. See, that's the funny thing with me is I don't reread stuff. I read stuff for the pod. I read stuff to cover it on the show, and I have that first read experience of holy crap, this happened, holy crap, that happened, or oh, I didn't really like it when that happened, you know, just like that initial discussion point of this was the first time I read this and I cannot believe that just happened.
I'm weird. Oh yeah, I reread entire books. I've read and since I got into it years ago, I've read and the Southern Cross trilogy a bunch of times. Lord of the Rings, I still read and reread once, probably every year, maybe a little more than that, maybe 14, 15 months. But, and I mean, that's not a short read either.
No, it's not.
Unless you decide to skip over all the extraneous details, then you save a lot of time. No, anyway.
You are talking about the actual books.
Yes, and the not, books.
Okay, yeah, I was going
to
say.
No, I'm making... Yeah, I'm making a joke about how much he liked to describe stuff, too.
Oh, describe stuff. Uh-huh.
The way here's this blade of grass, which begot other blades of grass, which be... Anyway.
Yeah, no, Tolkien is not, like... Again, folks, if you've heard me say this before, and I'm sure you have, because I say it a lot whenever every time that franchise is brought up, it was 1994. I was 14 years old. I was in middle school. I was a fairly voracious and interesting reader. I liked to read almost anything kind of thing when it came to books. I got to one line in Fellowship of the Ring, and I shut the book, and I was done.
I mean, you should have started with The Hobbit, like most of us.
Okay, well...
The Hobbit was the much easier read of the two.
Okay.
It was more of a, sort of a kid's book.
Right.
Anyway.
So... The reason why I like until this event happened in 1994, I didn't even know about Tolkien at age 14. My dad used to work for a bus company. He was the mechanic and he would always clean out the buses. He would always like it was coaches that would go down to like Gatlinburg, Tennessee with all the old people like going to, you know, slots and bingo and all that stuff. So it was all these. So he found a copy of Fellowship on the bus one day and brought it home for me to read. So I didn't know anything about Fellowship, didn't know anything about Lord of the Rings, didn't know anything about Hobbit or any of that kind of, like, I don't ever remember learning it in school before 1994 or anything like that or after. I got to one line, and I think it's the very first chapter. It was Bill Bowser, how the hell you say his name. It was his 11-1st birthday. Yeah, I'm like, 11-1st birthday? What the fuck is an 11-1st? I looked
it up. So you're saying you got to one little line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got scared. And you're moving with your auntie and uncle away from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. 11-1st birthday. You know what it means? He turned 111 years old. As much as you talk about the blade of grass begotten whatever, just fucking say he's 111. I understand Tolkien had it. But yeah,
I don't calm down. You're going to get your podcast the explicit tag. Jeez.
It already has the explicit tag, don't you know? How the fuck do you not know this? All right, so everybody is safe. You, Sarah, the pets, but the house is burning down. What is the one comic you could never live without ever?
Yeah, Saved by Comic. Wait, what? This is a terrible question.
What is the one comic you could never live without ever?
I feel like I could live without all, though. Whatever. Fine, if I had to pick one, I'd probably grab Welcome Back, Frank, from Garth Ennis.
Very cool, very cool. What is the most money you spent on a comic or a comic item? Comic item could be like a statue or something from a convention, etc.
Oh, God. I mean, the old Unicron statue for $250 probably be up there. If that counts, because, I mean, Unicron debuted an animated series.
Yep.
Failing that, I mean, I got a couple Punisher statues that are 200-some-odd bucks each. Mm-hmm. Probably them. My current most expensive item is the Kickstarter to Rocinante from The Expanse, but that is... probably not counting, even though they did just break the comic book crowdfunding record. So
nice, that's cool. Was there ever a moment when you were done with comics altogether?
A couple times. So where to start on this one? It's funny because one of them is sitting at number 3 right now in the Amazon bestsellers because I went there just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. To see how the trade for Do a Power Bomb is doing. It is currently 8. Somehow, at number 3, is the Spider-Man Brand New Day Omnibus, which, oh, I hate it. So, we were talking earlier about Nightwing being regressed back into, or sorry, Dick Grayson regressed back into Nightwing. The undoing of the basically everything of Joe Michael Straczynski's Spider-Man run, where he made him grow up, he had an actual sort of adult relationship with Mary Jane, he had a real job and wasn't just a high school student anymore and had to actually stop just being a freelance reporter, and then they just completely undid it in the dumbest way possible with Aunt May is 700 million years old at this point. She's lived a long life. She gets shot, and Spider-Man's like, hey, devil, I'll give up anything just for Aunt May to be alive, even though she probably aches for death at this point. I mean, her life is atrocious. I mean, she married Dr. Octopus. There's no coming back from that.
No.
Like, come on, Aunt May. You gotta know better. His last name is Octavius. Octopus,
yeah.
Like... your career options are limited when somebody names you Otto Octavius.
Mm-hmm.
You can either be a supervillain or a stripper, and he did not have the body for one of those. Actually, he didn't have a body for either of those.
No.
Come to think of it.
Yeah. Anything.
Still.
But he had the arms that could have been legs. Yeah.
That's true. He could have made money doing that. Anyway. No, just... oh, I hated that event so much. I remember dropping Spider-Man, and I just kind of sort of fell out of comics for a while with that. I was annoyed. I understand the whole, and I've talked about it, well, I was much younger then, too, in my defense, but I've talked about it a few times that sometimes you just wait, and a character will return to its other state or to a state that you enjoy. And that's kind of what happened, although it just happened more comics-wide. There were a lot of things going on at that point.
Yeah.
The Transformers stuff wasn't great. We had just gone through the delightful Dreamwave debacle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good time to hop off for a little bit.
Yeah. I was never on the train, so I haven't hopped up. Like we were saying earlier, not to bring back up the Amazon shit again, but once Comixology is gone, I'm going to have to find... I cannot do physical comics anymore. I just can't. I know somebody out there is going to recommend the library or something, and that's all well and good, but I live in a one horse town now, and this horse doesn't get around so much anymore. But the pullback, may end up being all origins in the future. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that all out and see what happens. But what are you reading right now, and what do you think our listeners should check out?
Two Power Bombs, a good one. I mentioned that the X-Men stuff has been really enjoyable. I have enjoyed the current run of The Punisher. I have... Oh, gosh. I mentioned Lazarus before, liking that. Monstrous Saga. There's a lot of stuff. Zdarsky's Daredevil has been just outstanding, although that's wrapping up soon.
Have you been reading his Batman?
No, I really should.
Okay. I've been kind of curious about that. Like, I haven't read it myself, but I'm kind of curious because I only know him as an artist.
I know. Like, his writing is amazing, and yeah. I was skeptical originally, especially when he took on the Daredevil run, but
very cool, very cool. Heroes, heroines, anti-heroes and heroines, or villains, what archetypes are your go-to reads?
Gosh. I almost have to say villains now, don't I? I mean, I love The Punisher. The Punisher works best as a villainous character, in my opinion, for the most part. We've talked about Megatron a lot. His sort of road towards the
redemption? Question mark?
Yeah, not even that. Like, the most interesting he was when he was trying to at least be something more, or at least started to confront what he had done and what he had become. See, in a lot of ways, yeah, the villains are more interesting, but I've mentioned Miles Morales a few times over the years too, and Peter Parker, obviously. I don't know. I like them all, really.
Was it you and I, or was it me and somebody else that was going to cover Spider-Man, or not Spider-Man, Spider-Men 1 and 2, because that's Peter and Miles together, right? I think it was you that was going to cover that with me. I don't remember. Let's do that soon-ish. Do you have a My Parents Got Rid of My Comics story?
No, we've mentioned this before. I did that.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah.
Yeah, what and all of them stupid, dumb decisions for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. What's one item from a comic you'd love to have in the real world?
Odd one, but, I mean, Wolverine's claws are just awesome. I can't remember if I've talked about that, but one of my favorite things during the pandemic was using VR to exercise, and one of the games I played was Gorn, which was sort of an arena fighting game. And one of the weapons you can get are gloves that give you three retractable claws.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that is pure joy. If you ever wanted to, like, I mean, the first thing I did was basically reenact, Wolverine at the start of the X-Men animated series.
Yep.
Or, any other time he made the X with the claws coming out.
Yep.
It's basically the first thing. You can't not do that. So, that's a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks. These next five questions are brand new. So we are
minus
now
the pain, by the way, of them coming out the hands. I can do without that.
Nobody wants the pain of. I don't. That's why I don't think I could ever have the claws. It's too painful to get them to come out. Oh boy. We're now entering the comic book fantasy fun land. If you could own any vehicle featured in a comic book, which would it be and why?
Any vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I'm going to set aside the Transformers.
Okay.
Because they would sort of, that's, I feel like that's cheating.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, they're not. They're technically not just vehicles, so that's not fair.
Yeah, no.
All right, so X-Jet up there, but I feel like it's got to be Spider-Man's spider buggy. The ability to drive up walls and just not worry about crashing, really.
Right.
Come on, think of how much time that has saved. Not to mention how awesome it would be to just park on the side of a building for a while.
Yeah, pretty much. That would be cool.
I'm trying to think of like what else would be up there. I mean, there's your cool, like, you know, tanks or whatever, stuff like that you could come up with. Like the tank from Tank Girl or whatever. But I don't know. Spider buggy's pretty fun. It's way better than the Thanos copter or the Magneto mobile.
Even though this is about Ryan's origins, but since these are new questions, I'm also going to answer these questions since I've never answered them before. I gotta go with a classic. Whichever version it is, close to the animated series or 89 or any, gotta go with the Batmobile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it can't drive. Well, I mean, actually, no. I guess some of them can drive
up. Some of them can drive up walls. Or I guess I technically could go futuristic and go the Batman Beyond Batmobile, because that thing flies.
Batmobile! Ignition!
That thing can fly up walls, and it don't need no grappling hooks.
I guess. I feel like future's cheating. I don't know.
Well, probably. If you could live in any comic book world that you wanted, where would you live?
Oh, they're all terrible, aren't they? Like, realistically, they're all pretty awful.
Yes, but this is fantasy fun land. This is not reality. This is... We're faking it, dude. Fake it.
All right, so hang on. I would pick the Marvel Universe, and I would live somewhere... I'm going to go with somewhere in Asia because, frankly, nothing happens there. It's the only place that would be safe. Like, if you live in New York or any major city, San Francisco or wherever in the Marvel Universe, you're screwed. Yep. So for DC, DC is a little different in that we have mostly fictional cities, obviously. But they're all nightmarish hellholes, right? Like, nobody's going to want to live in Gotham.
No.
Metropolis is not bad.
It can
It's not
get,
great. A lot of property damage.
Yeah, a lot of property
pretty
damage.
Pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Especially if, like, Doomsday comes to town or something, but...
Doomsday or, you know, some... Or is it the Red Kryptonite that screws him up and makes Superman go bad? Like, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. yeah. Yeah, just stay safe. Stay out of the way. Some place where nothing seems to happen often.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere in Asia.
I really liked, is it, who did, when did the Punisher go to L.A.? Oh,
he's
man.
He's done it a few times. He's been
I know,
there.
But there was a time, like, I think it was during the Marvel Now runs or something, where it was, like, this big deal, like, the Punisher. Like, I remember you talking to me about this, because it also had to do with, what's her name?
Rachel Cole Elvis, she was out there at West for a while.
There was
a run from He Who Shall Not Be Named, who is on the. I mean, I never really liked his run, thankfully, but to the point that it was one of the few I didn't own. But thankfully, he ended up on the. Well, not thankfully, obviously, he ended up on the list of problematic creators, so even if I did have it, I would have gotten rid of it.
Yeah,
there was that period of time. Yeah, I mean, most of the Marvel heroes have been somewhere. You go up into Canada, there's Alpha Flight and Wolverine hanging around every once in a while, so you got to worry about it. Actually, Hulk, too, went through Wendigo. So, you know, that's out. Anywhere in the U.S. is just, you're just asking for death. Anywhere in the U.S. in DC Comics, I guess overseas in DC is real bad too. You got Black Adam and never mind.
Yeah, you got Black Adam, and then you know you got to figure out which timer you want to live in. If you want to live in DC in the 40s, you're screwed because World War II.
No, all right. And, no, I'm sticking with my original.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I guess as long as I could breathe, I would maybe want to live on Cybertron. Maybe.
Yeah, but the Transformers, I don't know. Most of the Transformers comics, Cybertron is a hell pit.
Well, yes, true, but I mean, that isn't all Star Trek's fault.
At the end of IDW 1.0, it seems to be okay, at least, eventually. But yeah.
Yeah.
If you survive that,
yeah,
as in like, survive, you know, Unicron and all of the wars on Earth.
Yeah.
Up until then, yeah, you're sitting pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what was the, you know, let's just say More Than Meets the Eye, Robots in Disguise, from beginning to end, how many years would you say that was in story timeline?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
Like, let's just say 3 decades, maybe? Maybe?
Well, the finale jumps ahead. But I think the bulk of the story occurs within only a few years.
Right. Okay. I was just trying to think of how old we could be in that universe if we were living in that universe. And by the time Unicron came, maybe we'd all already be gone or ready to go. Yeah. I don't know. It gets depressing, folks, when you're trying to figure out which conflict world you want to live in because they're all so depressing. Who would be your top 3 comic pals to join you and become a quartet?
Man, definitely not the Punisher. Oh, man. You know what? Top 3, I would flat out just hang out with Nightbeat, Hosehead, and Siren. Those are the 3, the junior headmasters that hung out in the Marvel comics. There are cute nods to that in the IDW stuff on occasion.
Very cool.
Yeah, hanging with them would be cool. Really anybody from Swerve's gang and More Than Meets the Eye too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would be fun.
Hell, Swerve himself, you'd have all kinds of quests and adventures and
being pals with Spider-Man would be pretty awesome. Yeah. Really either of them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Probably wouldn't hang out with the X-Men.
No. Too much stuff going on.
First of all, the mansion gets destroyed every week.
Yep.
Second of all, have you seen even their baseball games? Like, they get heated.
Yeah. It's not good. If you could date any comic character, which one would it be?
Do they have their powers or not?
They can be human. They can be superhuman. It doesn't matter.
All right. So, if they didn't have their powers, Rogue. If it's with powers, Mystique. So Mystique could be anybody you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For me,
Male, female, doesn't matter. You get a new person each night.
Yeah, she could be anybody, yep.
And Rogue, I don't know. It's a teenager thing. I think I always had a thing for...
Yeah.
Let's do the Southern accents. I don't know. Don't tell Sarah. I'm just kidding. She already knows. Anyway.
For me, oh man, this is hard. This is difficult. Yeah, I'll go with it. Probably Barbara. Batgirl, most likely. Barbara Gordon.
Part of it is I don't know how many would be that much fun. I mean, Mystique, you know, you'd probably end up on the run, which I guess that would be adrenaline.
Yeah.
Inducing, at least. So, you know what? I'm still not going to change that one. But, I mean, could you imagine how, like, gloomy, you know, dating Bruce would be? Or... I don't know. I just can't imagine it would be that much fun.
Yeah, no.
I mean, look how it turned out for... Oh, no. I can't Vicky? Remember the character name from... Yeah, Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, Andrea.
What was the last
Andrea name? Beaumont.
Yep. Beaumont, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, look how that turned out. Yeah.
Well, you know. He was, like, I guess I fault him for that, but I don't fault him for that because he was going through grief, and her father was a criminal. And he was, I don't know. That's a whole other complicated issue. You know what we ought to do? We ought to do a commentary on that for the 30th anniversary this year. Ooh, that's an idea. We'll file that one away for later. All right. Final question before we exit the comic book fantasy fun land. What is the holy grail of comic book artifacts to you? These are just examples. You can pick anything, but a Batarang, the Matrix of Leadership, Kryptonite, the Green Lantern, or the Green Lantern's ring, et cetera, et cetera.
Green Lantern's ring would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
God. If you could have it like human, you know what, even just as a trophy or something, Optimus Prime's Ion Blaster.
Yeah.
Be pretty sweet. If you could like make it sort of human size to be able to carry around, be great.
Yeah, nobody wants to look like Rumble carrying one of those giant guns.
Yeah, or just get crushed by it.
Yeah. I obviously know because it's Transformers the movie and Rumble was carrying Megatron's blaster, but did Spike
ever... Fusion Cannon? You know, yes, Spike once cannon. Shot. Was it Prime's gun or was it Prowl's? And yes, no, it was in the...
Yeah, it was Prime's gun.
Not Megatron's Master Plan, the other... Ultimate Doom, Earth 3.
Yep.
He shoots it... So first of all, it magically somehow shoots towards the sky, which is just not remotely possible.
No, it's not.
Because, like, Spike barely sort of tilts it upwards. At best, it would go, like, 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and that's if he's lucky and it was on a rock, which it was. But there's no way it's traveling, like, straight upwards towards the Decepticon ship. The Incredible Hulk would have trouble picking that up and aiming it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you with the Green Lantern ring, with the lantern slash ring, etc. But for me, for shits and giggles, I'd probably want a Batarang. Oh.
My problem is I'd probably just peg myself off in the head with it.
Well, I wouldn't use it.
Oh. How could you not at one point? You'd want to play with it.
Okay, yeah, maybe at one point, but I'm not trying to poke my eye out here. And, yeah, I don't know. All right, we are now exiting the comic book fantasy funland. If you could create any comic storyline, what would you want to create and what characters would you want to create it with? Basically, whatever company gives you the keys to the kingdom says you can do whatever you want.
I always wanted a Transformers sort of mystery of the week, almost, in terms of, or I should say Planet of the Week, more of like a Star Trek thing. So, super astute super fans, in which case, man, you might need to lay off listening to me, whatever. Anywho, Spada and I, way back, talked about this, but I would almost want like a Star Trek-esque sort of Planet of the Week. This was an idea we had long before Lost Light existed.
Right.
Which did this a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, the sort of like Planet of the Week visiting thing with the Transformers, I think it would be fun to have, like, you could have a Decepticon ship following them and maybe a story arc where they catch up or stuff like that, you know. But I always liked that idea. I think that would be fun to do. There's so many different Transformers. You could basically do different genres based on who you have come down to the planet each week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For me, I don't know. I'm not answering this one because I think I already did way back when, because this is not a new question. But yeah, all right. Final question. What is the one piece of advice you would give the comics reading fandom?
Enjoy it. Have an open mind. Be more open to it than I think I was for a long time. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, have fun with it. And as always, if you don't like a particular run or a take on a character, you're welcome to drop out and just come back when there is
a better
something different or something that's more like you. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Don't hate read stuff and don't hate stuff just because it's not for you. Yeah. There are plenty of books and story arcs and characters that I love that have had storylines that, like, I don't really like. And if other people like them and enjoy them, that's perfectly fine. It doesn't mean it's terrible. It just means it's not necessarily for me.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And yeah, that's just...
If everything catered to me, it would be boring.
Exactly.
Just in general. And also, I mean, I wouldn't learn or read anything new or... You know, how many series would I have never gotten into or wouldn't exist if it was that way?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's the one, for the most part, unless it's a story that I just didn't like and feel like I wasted my time reading it. For the most part, comics has always been for me over the last decade or so just like, okay, I like this premise or I like these characters. Let's try this. Let's try that. Sometimes we fall off of stuff. We haven't covered Spider-Man, to my knowledge, since JT and I covered Goblin War. Mm. I think it was like right at the tail end of, I think it was the end of Slott's run.
Slott's run, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't covered any of the Nick Spencer, like we just haven't, I just haven't gotten to it because we've had, like, Transformers took the show over. I mean, not that that's a bad thing, but like with doing the Transformers stuff, with doing the Turtle stuff, with doing some of the other stuff we've done, plus all the origins and everything else, like I just, like, we've never really covered Superman at all on this podcast. We've covered, I think.
Didn't we do Red Sun?
No, we never did.
No.
I have not read Red Sun. I would have remembered that. But Joe and I tried to do... We did two of the three issues of Miller's Year One, the DC Black Label three-issue Frank Miller thing.
Yep.
And, oh, boy. Yeah. I got to that second issue, and I was like, okay... I liked the first two issues because I liked the origin story that Miller was telling. And then I saw the solicit for the third issue, and he's bringing in the Trinity, and he's doing the – and, like, we still have not covered that. I eventually want to cover – I actually have it here on my lovely soon-to-be-broken Comixology app. Superman Unchained, which was Scott Snyder. And what was the other one? Was there another one? And the new Superman, Joshua Williamson, like I mentioned.
You really like Morrison's Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow run.
Okay.
That's something, yeah, to do someday.
Very cool, very cool.
Because it's a lot more fun-ish Superman stories.
Yeah.
Closer to the animated series than to, you know, a lot of the stuff.
Nice.
A lot closer to the animated series than Frank Miller's.
Yeah, the main reason why I started reading Miller's run was because I thought, oh, this is a year one that's Frank Miller, but it isn't Batman. It's Superman, and I was kind of curious, and I liked the fact that he had Superman in Illinois at the time because that's where Karen and I were living and all that stuff, and he did the, you know, he was at the. Actually, it's a true, real place because I saw a concert there. He's at one of the naval bases there in northern Illinois, just north of the city of Chicago. So, but yeah, no, as soon as I read that solicit, I'm like, oh, God. Look, I understand they are the Holy Trinity. I get it. But I wanted a Frank Miller soul Superman story that just dealt with that. Like, I didn't want him to go all Frank Miller in the third issue. And yeah, that's, yeah, no. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some stuff and some other things, and God knows what else I'll throw in here. But we're coming back to close the show right after this.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello! Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick? So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
You bots will direct your questions directly to me. Don't ever presume you can speak for me, Optimus. The last thing we need is some over-glorified repair bot shooting his audio processor off about things he doesn't understand. A scrub like you should just smile and wave and stay out of the way.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast, or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music, I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast to your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you,
because knowing us is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6O, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
All right, folks, we are back here inside the Pullbag with Ryan, the Uneven Flow Merkley, and apparently Ryan's going to have a list for me to add to the schedule.
Yeah, no, I keep coming up with stuff that I think you'd probably like to read.
No, absolutely.
It's one of those weird times where half the time we're talking about it off air, and I can't think of anything.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. Anything you want to talk about, anything you want to say before I run through the closing?
Nope.
All right. Thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays: Apple and Google Podcasts. Leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter, if it's still around, but it is. At GeekCastRadio for the network, at the Pullbag for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. Ryan, not on
Twitter. Not on any social media still.
Yeah, no. No.
It's so nice. It's so relaxing. I don't check it while I'm at work. All I do is, like, check, see what my shop is like in Marvel Snap, and that's about it.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out the Pullbag over there as well. Join us next time when we'll be doing another Origins episode, this time with Brad Filicki from the Dark Knight News podcast. So that's going to be a blast to see what his comic reading origins are.
Maybe he'll add 30 things to your list, too.
Oh, probably. You know, I really need to. I think we're at, like, in 10 years, we've only done. It's so weird. In 10 years, we've only done, I think, 58 or 60 total Origins episodes out of over 500 episodes of this podcast. And I need to probably go back and re-listen to all the Origins I've recorded and released to get the entirety of the list that people have recommended to me and said, oh, we should do this, or oh, we should do that, or it is what it is. For now, I am TFU and Mike with
Ryan the Uneven Flow.
As always, make your great escape into comics. We will catch you next time, everybody.
If you're gonna ride, Dano, ride in style.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
He is no longer Orion Pax. Now he is the first of our new defenders, Optimus Prime.
I was wrong, my friends. I admired Megatron merely because he was powerful. I failed to see how he used that power.